The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You may have noticed in your books, in your little missals for Mass, that there are two options for the Gospel today. And as you know, it's no surprise we chose the longer one. But if you look at the shorter one, what does it not include? Take a guess. You're right. What does it not include? It doesn't include the parable. The parable of the unjust steward. Why does it not include that? Because it's impossible. It's impossible to interpret and to apply. Okay? So, little prayer for Father Daniel, because he's going to try. He's going to try. The mechanism of the parable is the steward. So we have to understand what stewardship in that day, in that place, would have looked like. Because the practice of usury was forbidden by the law, a faithful Jew could not charge a ridiculous rate of return on a loan. One of the ways around that was to expect repayment in produce of some sort, because the investment could be made, and the harvest then, being bountiful, well, surely then it's right and just that more is given in return. So here we have a steward doing his master's work, who is going to be thrown out, and so goes to the people who owe him the crazy amount, the usurious amount, right, that rate that is too high to be just. He goes and renegotiates with them to what is just repayment, to what is a just repayment. The master, of course, would not be terribly happy about that. In the first case, he loses half of the olive oil that would have been coming back to him. And we see here that that's a lot. It's a lot of resources. It's a lot of money. He's not going to be happy about it. But he commends the dishonest steward. He commends the unjust steward for acting prudently, because what did he do? He knew he was being turned out. So he went back and renegotiated with a wage that his master would not have been able to claim, lest he be seen as usurious. Lest he be seen as the loan shark that he was. He could not by law charge that rate, but he had found the workaround. And he knew that the steward also could expose him. And he didn't. Now, that's got very little to do with the passage, right? But that's the mechanism. That's the mechanism at play here with the steward. He's commended for that. Now, okay, let's run into our first problem. Who is the loan shark? Who is the loan shark master? Who is the usurious master? Someone? Anyone? God. Oh, what did I say? I called God a loan shark. Right? I mean, this is the stuff of heresy. This is like a heretic's dream, this one. God is a loan shark. Okay, well, so this is not too foreign to us, though. Okay, think perhaps a couple of chapters ahead in this gospel where we see the parable of the talents. And when the master returns and asks and has his servants make account of the talents that they were given, what is the exchange right at the end? God says, you knew that I was demanding. You knew that I picked up what I did not lay down, that I harvest where I did not scatter seed. So God is demanding. He's demanding in a way that, I mean, we perhaps don't even want to think about. Is he a loan shark? Maybe in some way. He expects what he has given to bear great fruit. He expects to have an abundant harvest. He wants to have an abundant harvest. And he knows what gifts he's given, namely the gift of his life, mercy, right? His loving, kind, compassionate, forgiving love. And he expects that then to take root and come to fruition in our lives. I've just gone two steps ahead of myself. Jesus, in this parable, is claiming to be the master as well. Yeah? Because he is the definitive embodiment of God. He is God returned to his people to have them make account for what they've done with what he has entrusted to them. And here we see Jesus is turning out the steward. So Israel, which was the steward of God's grace and merciful love, is being turned out by Jesus. Why? Because they've got it wrong. They've got it wrong. They're all in on the rules of the thing, and they've lost track of what we prayed in that opening prayer of the Mass, which is that, Lord, you founded the law and every tenet of the law on love of God and of neighbor. And they had lost track of love of God and neighbor, maintaining all the rules that were supposed to structure that love of God and neighbor, all the rules that were supposed to help and free us from the hindrances that would prevent us from loving God and neighbor. They had got it wrong. They had all the rules without the relationship. And they were breeding in and amongst themselves and in the greater world rebellion against God. Jesus comes to restore to God's chosen people the stewardship that was originally entrusted to them. That being loved by God, they could bring that love to life in the world. And he's saying here, hey, look, you guys are being turned out. It's time to get first things first. And did they take him up on it? Some answered a call and followed Jesus, trusted him, followed Jesus, and some not. And to Jesus' new Israel, right, the 12 in the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 that were gathered to Jesus and then sent out to proclaim the good news of restored stewardship given back to humanity in Jesus, through and with and in Jesus, we too are gathered as a new nation. To make of us, he made of us an offering to God, that we could live the relationship, that he could reestablish for us the relationship, so that we could live then God's love, that we could bring God's merciful, kind, compassionate, and forgiving love to life in the world. Okay? I haven't resolved all of your issues with the passage, I'm sure, but maybe a little homework. Maybe a little homework today. But that's it, my friends. God, we try to hear now. God loves you where you are right now. What did we do to deserve that? But that's the weight of the gift, right? He loves me now without resolve, without reserve. He's holding nothing back in loving you right now. And he's asking you to become a vehicle of that love for the world. Everything else follows. The rules can help that. If the rules don't help that, they're not good rules. The rules help that. But first, be loved, my friends, be loved, so that you can love others without reserve in the same mode and manner that God has loved us.